It is the last hour of the show. We're sitting at 11:14, and this is In Season with Sake. If you just tuned in case you're wondering if you are a first-time listener, that is. And if you are, welcome to the CCFM family, where we are changing lives for good. In just a bit, I'll be chatting to Liesl Snyman, the author of Beautifully Flawed, Removing the Layers Around Behavior Influences. And I believe it is a chat that every single person on the face of the earth needs to have a listen on. And of course, as always, if you cannot simply, you know, you might be busy, you can always find it on our app, on the CCFM app, that which Wes mentioned earlier.
In Season with Sake.
What is a behavior that God requires from his children? This question lies at the heart of our exploration today. As believers, we must delve into the scriptures and also glean wisdom from teachings and experiences that guide our conduct towards love, compassion, and righteousness. More specifically, to recognize all the negative impressions or influences that take away from what God requires from us in behavior and conduct. Now, Liesl Snyman, author of Beautifully Flawed, managing director of Kintsugiro Consulting and publisher of Kintsugiro Bookhouse, is leading the conversation today. And I always look forward to seeing you on an alternative Tuesday. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am exceptionally well, besides out of breath. But I mean, that is something that I need to work on, to not be out of breath. But I am alive and well and barely breathing.
You're breathing, but barely breathing. I love that.
Continue, sis queen.
Likewise, man. Likewise. And also, for those who are listening in, we also like to hear from you today. You know, if at any moment during our discussion you want to share your own experiences on how negative or even positive impressions has impacted your behavior and conduct, please do share your input to our WhatsApp line on 061-798-1075. Let us jump straight in.
Time always flies when we're together.
Exactly. What does Christian, or rather, what drives Christian behavior?
Sure. I think I want to say like Jesus. That's a short answer, but I think we need to be detailed today. I think for me personally, at the core of my Christian behavior, and I believe everyone else's behavior, should be the desire to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, because he obviously came to earth and he lived a life to set an example for us. And his life ultimately reflected love, compassion, and grace, everything that you so eloquently mentioned now in your opening statement. And I think that type of behavior, that conduct, really requires from us to put the needs of others before our own, and to serve people, and to serve those who are in need, and to continually strive for righteousness in all areas of our life. I think that desire that I mentioned now is something that was obviously birthed the moment when we connected with God. And for me, it was a reconnection with God after I had lived that life that was filled with sin and shame. And I remember that in that moment, there was a perfection that I experienced, like a purity. It was a pure moment. I never felt more perfect than the moment that I was in his presence. So because of that moment, I desired to be in that type of scenario, that type of presence all the time. And so that was the thing who ultimately became the thing that stirred my desire to live in a conduct that was worthy to experience that. And I think, although God blesses us with his presence regardless of what we did and who we are, that desire to experience the purity from self in our humanness is something that I think we all strive for. So for me, that perfection that I just mentioned now is really, it is the desire to be the best for God in our conduct. But our reality obviously has proven that it's not as easy, because we're constantly being challenged on the very things that we vowed unto God and said, we will never dishonor your name. We will honor you with our lives. We will honor you with our words and our conduct. And that we are challenged on the very things, the teachings that God has told us that we need to have compassion, that we need to love all. The teaching that we need to be a reflection of Him. And I mean, the reflection of Him is what people experience of us.
Yeah.
That desire to put the needs of others before our own. We're challenged with that because we're constantly thinking, but do you deserve what I'm going to give you?
Sure.
Are you even worthy of me serving you? And these are thoughts that comes into our mind, and it's important that we understand why those thoughts are there. And I think that is why we are here today, to talk about why. But everyone has the need to live the best for Christ. It's there. It's part of who we are. Yeah. It's part of how we were put together. But there's this thing that challenges us, and we'll dig into it a little bit later.
Sure. Now, you just described a post-Christian, right?
Yeah.
How do negative impressions influence our behavior?
Okay, I think I want to answer by first maybe defining what a negative impression actually is. Mm-hmm. And a negative impression refers to an idea or an opinion of what someone is like. Somebody says something about a person, mm-hmm. you know, did you know? And that then forms a judgment regarding that person in a negative light.
Mm-hmm.
And the judgment that is then dropped in your mind can either inspire you to give the person an expression or an extension of God through your conduct, or it can reduce your desire to actually interact with the person. Those are the two options that can happen. And and to be real, you know, typical type of people, and I'm going like really deep according to the measurement that we as a worldly system actually place on people, drug addicts, prostitutes, people who are homeless, someone who's fallen into sin, adultery, committed fraud, been in jail, committed a crime. So those are the you know, the type of people that people talk about, and then a judgment is formed about the individual homosexuality. Let me put it out there. So each one of us that was left with impressions about the life of others, then that is how it can ultimately influence our conduct. But that's not the only thing that influences our impressions. It can also be our upbringing. Our religious foundation, which church you belong to, what was, you know, what you heard in services and conversations, your own spiritual journey, or even your own experiences. You might have had an encounter with somebody in your past related to that, even in your personal life. Maybe you experienced where you were impacted by adultery or all those things. So you have a negative impression about the sin, but remember, not about the person and what God wants for the individual. So, and in order for us, I think, Queen Sake, to understand whether our behavior is reflecting that perfect image that God wants us to be, is for us, we need to become aware of how our behavior impacts others.
Mm-hmm.
How did the behavior make you feel when you did it, when you said what you said, when you showed the person a physical expression of yourself? Did you even consider how the other person received the behavior that you gave him or her? Did the moment leave you with the sense of, I just pleased God, I think He's smiling out in heaven because of what I just did or said? Or was it a, yes, so why did I just say that? So for me, to be real again, I want to use an example. When people say something bad of another person, you know, I've heard numerous conversations where people said about me specifically, you know, just be careful of that one. And it hurt me.
Sure.
Because people were referencing a past version of me, not who I am now. Or, you know, when you're sitting in conversation, and it happens often, and I want to mention this, I don't know whether it's a cultural thing or whether it is something that was passed on from generation to generation. We come home from church and somebody shares something that was shared in confidence during a confession or during a deliverance prayer. So this becomes a topic.
Sure.
And or when you react during a workplace confrontation and you utter words that, you know, in response or defense of what you're defending, but you actually intend to hurt the person. So those are just scenarios. But every time we say something that has the intent to hurt, we actually plant a seed of hurt.
Sure.
It is not a seed that is righteous. It's not something that honors God. So we actually impart what we've received in the impressions that we received as we were growing up during our lifetime. So to give you a... So I think that there are many examples that we can mention that leaves negative impressions, because it negative impressions ultimately shapes how we deal with people, and also how whomever hears what we say respond to those people in return. So we're creating a consciousness of negative behavior. Our negative behavior plants negative behavior in those of others, because our words ultimately has power.
My goodness. Now, you know, just to remind, you know, our listeners that they can also jump in and share, you know, their own experiences on how negative or positive impressions impacted their behavior and conduct on our WhatsApp line 0617981075. Now, Queen Liz, how does one guard against all these seemingly insignificant impressions that in actual fact, you know, take away from our level of impact?
I think you guard against it by knowing exactly what it is that you need to guard against. So, for example, what does the scripture say about the enemy wanting to reduce our worth, right? So in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So it is in order for us then to understand what we need to guard against. We need to know that the enemy wants to influence our behavior. So we then need to first, I think it's simple for me, that we need to relearn kindness.
Yes.
We need to relearn kindness.
Yes.
Kindness is a reflection of God's character. That's I think that's the best way that we can put it, because it leads us to forgive rather than to blame. It leads us to show mercy rather than hatred. It leads us to care rather than despise. So we need to take away everything that we are doing that takes away the good that God has planted inside of us. What was imparted, what was taught, and what was learned, and everything that was learned can then also be learned, unlearned. So we need to know exactly what did we receive that was really not from God. And in order for us to do this, we need to remind ourselves what God's plan for our lives was when he made the ultimate sacrifice. And that sacrifice was the gift that showed us that what he endured was, I think, much more worse than what we are currently going through. Yet his response was always connected to eternity and not connected to the moment of pain. His response was always connected to eternity. That kind of fell hard now. His response was connected to eternity and what was to come and not the moment. So just thinking of that, I think perhaps maybe Jesus was also conflicted. I'm sure there was a moment that he was conflicted. But we never read about what he said in his private time with the Lord. So maybe he had these questions that we're supposed to have with our Father. And said, but now, why must I go through this? Why the Pharisees are doing this? The people are doing that. They don't. Why? But he always connected to what eternity required from him. So I think.
Wow.
I don't know. I've a bit stunned myself now for that.
And I feel like, you know, the majority of times we tend to respond on what is happening right now, as you mentioned, not having eternity in mind.
Definitely. And I mean, as you're talking now, responding with what's happening now, I have a very recent example. And it happened on Friday, actually. Mm-hmm. So it was a business. It was a request that I made to a business supplier. And for the first time since I started my business, I was confronted with the red tape. And the red tape immediately reminded of what I did not like when I worked mm-hmm. in corporate. So I responded with the attitude, I actually do not need this. I'm then paying for your service. You know, mm-hmm. you're working for me.
Yeah.
Literally, the flesh stepped in. And I said things, although I felt I was in my right, I said things that could have been said differently had I channeled through what God required from me. And I promise you, my sister Queen, after it was done, I felt so terrible. You know, when I think when we have experienced the purity of God and you do something outside of His will, what happens? Your mach drei. You're feeling uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You can't think. I think I experienced what the other person who received my words that I uttered was experiencing because of how it potentially made them feel. And the only thing that I had to do in that moment was ask God's forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I had to apologize for the words that were said. Mm-hmm. And I needed to humble myself in order to, it was not about me. I think it was about the life of the person who received the words that I uttered. And we need to think of eternity. What is that person's eternity connected to in Christ? And what we do can ultimately influence that. Yeah.
Sure. My goodness. Someone touching on something you mentioned earlier on, Alvina, saying we also have a choice to listen to what someone has to say about another. And I think that too is that too we need to learn to, you know, to discern whether I want to listen further or not, you know?
Yeah. I actually want to comment on that. I found that very difficult for me years ago where I was in association with somebody who loved talking about others and it was quite a senior person within the church environment. And I didn't know how to address the person. I always just stepped away. And it's something that I still don't know. And I've never been given an opportunity. But it is a real thing, I think, when you experience the discomfort of you hear immediately, my spirit don't like this. But I don't know what to say because you also don't want to respond in public because then it's a disrespect. So it is a very challenging thing.
It is really quite tricky. There is someone that says, take heart in this world. Oh, Alvina. Also with regards to this chat saying, take heart in this world. You will have trouble. I have overcome the world. Quoting Jesus there saying, patience and perseverance bring forth character. Humility asking for forgiveness. Sure.
Amen.
Sister Queen, anything to add or rather advice you can offer to our listeners today on negative impressions?
So I think I want to respond to what I mentioned previously when I quoted the scripture out of Philippians, I think. But we must have something that we measure ourselves against.
Important.
Where it comes to our character and conduct, and what best to measure ourselves against than the fruit of the Spirit.
Of course.
Because the fruit of the Spirit is what God Himself placed before us and said, this is the measurement. Love, joy, peace, loves, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. He said it Himself by virtue of what He gave to the prophet. So I think, so first, you must have something that you're measuring your conduct against. You need to take a moment to connect with your spirit man first. Friday, I failed dismally. I didn't connect to the spirit man first. I channeled into my emotions. We are humans. We channel into our emotions sometimes. I think when we choose to pause first and not react out of an emotion and we request guidance from the Spirit, there's wisdom and clarity there, men. Literally, there's a wisdom and clarity there. Plastens, I need to say it, plastens the way we say it. The eyes of our spirit man is really unimpressionable. He's not influenced by what somebody has said because he understands that the enemy influence our ears by what we heard in the past and what we experience in the past. So more than that, I think we also need to then understand that we need to constantly be like dressed, clothed in the full armor of God. We need to always speak God's truth. Mm. We need to always act righteously so that we honor God. We need to live in the gospel of peace. Mm. We need to have the shield of faith, believe that even if we sacrifice ourselves now, by faith, sure. God who's connected to eternity is going to do something greater than what we can even imagine. And we need to have the helmet of salvation. Mm. And how we conduct, I think our conduct ultimately channels whatever salvation the other person also needs in their own life, because they see characteristics of God. It's not even us. It's all God. Mm. You know, and then the sword of the Spirit. So I think, and then if you are like me, who sometimes skips the first two steps, like I did Friday, we need to be real. I am not perfect. We strive for perfection. Then you need to know that God has called us to live in harmony. Mm-hmm. So what I then did on Friday over the weekend, when I couldn't handle the feeling anymore, I had to ask forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded during the asking forgiveness for what I've uttered, that harmony does not mean that we all need to have the same view and that we're all in agreement. It just means that there's a mutual respect respect enough to, you know, respect the differences, respect the opinions, respect the processes. And spiritual harmony, I think, is it's beautiful because it gives us understanding what we are confronted with is actually just a enemy's seed that wants to create more plants and seeds for his dirty work and not for God's honor.
Sure.
So that awareness also kind of changes things.
Mm, yeah. Sure, my goodness. Someone is saying, thank you CCFM, I'm listening and feel connected with your program.
Amen.
I am moving from my family home for the first time after 40 plus years. Leaving so much memories behind makes me overwhelmed. Mm. I've been away from work for a good couple of months. Mm. Someone phoned, and because I've been walking this difficult journey with God, when the person phoned not to ask how I am, but to tell me that someone was placed at my workplace to do my duties, I was confidence replied and said, I am certain that that was the best thing to do for authority, to ensure that someone takes care of things while I'm gone.
Sure,
I love that. I really, really love that. And also goes back to what you said before, reacting or responding to negative impressions, we need to kind of pause,
connect to the spirit first, yes, because our spirit man has that clarity and the peace that is needed for any situation. Because I mean, the spirit of God can diffuse anger. Where light steps into a room, darkness needs to flee, right?
Come on. Esmeralda saying, morning, beautiful queens. Powerful topic as per usual. Listening, I think it's vital. The saying, we need to listen to understand and not to respond. Blessings in abundance. Thank you so much. And last but not least, Delicia says, hi, Psyche. And our guest, Queen Liz, I read somewhere, people may not always remember that all you said, but they will remember how you made them feel. Sure, that is true. That we are ambassadors of Christ to the world. I try with the help of the Holy Spirit to treat people the way I want them to treat me. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
As the Lord says, imitate Paul, saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Wow.
You know?
Imitate Christ.
Yo, that pausing is very important before you react or respond.
It is. It is. And I think the best place to pause is really pause in God's presence, right?
Mm.
And sometimes the pause just means that I'm intentionally seeking guidance from you, Lord.
Yes.
Intentionally seeking guidance from you. And even if I don't get an answer, it means that I should not respond the way my natural man said.
Exactly.
Look, and I think it's important to note that when we display and we live the character of God, it does not mean that we should not speak the truth of God. So
loving kindness.
Yes. So we need to have compassion, we need to have love, we need to have kindness and goodness, but God's word is clear about certain things. So it's okay to say what God's word says and still be compassionate,
exactly,
and not be bullies, and love them not love the sin and speak into eternity, because God has eternity for all of us prepared. Mm. We just don't know how it's going to form out. But we need to love God.
Sure. My sister, please take us to our song that you requested, From the Inside Out by Hillsong United. Why this particular song?
I think, very importantly, Hillsong was an important part of my journey when I reconnected with God. It was what I listened to day in and day out, day in and out, because I wanted to be like those people who worship.
Yeah.
It was new to me. And the song specifically speaks about that everything that we do needs to come from the inside out. God has placed pieces of himself inside of us. Mm-hmm. And so deep cries unto deep. And when we do things for him in the world by nature of just living, it needs to be inspired by the influences of God inside of us and not by what the enemy has planted in our minds and what we heard and what we saw. It is God, because the external influences yields a harvest of disorder.
Yeah.
Internal influences from God yield a harvest that's eternal and beautiful and perfect, just as he ordained it to be. So from the inside out.
Amen.
Everlasting.
Here we go. Thank you.
Amen.